Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Testament, covenant. There's a bit of a mix-up between those things. And this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about that and see if we can't untie a bit of the confusion. So in the Old Testament, there were four covenants. In the Old Testament, there was a covenant that was made with Adam. Then there was a covenant made with Abraham. Then there was a Mosaic covenant, which most of us understand, which is what we most get our teachings from, because the Jews follow that. There was also a covenant made with David in the house of David. It's a Davidic covenant. There are the four Old Testament covenants. And what people don't understand is that God doesn't deal with us based upon the Old Testament and the New Testament. He deals with us based upon the covenant that we are in and the time in which we are living. So for Adam lived under his covenant with God, which he broke. Abraham made a covenant with God, and you'll read the story there around Genesis 37, I think. And he made a covenant with God, and he goes out to the battle, these kings, and when he's coming back, he meets this guy called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the high priest of God, and he's really a similitude of Jesus. And what he did was he took wine and he broke bread and they had communion. And it says Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. That was the Abrahamic covenant. And then we have the covenant with David and his house. And God said to David that there would be somebody on his throne until Shiloh comes. So there's four covenants in the Old Testament. So when we read in the New Testament, we are under a different covenant. The covenant that we are under is not one that we have entered into. Everyone's bought a house. Most people have bought a house or they've bought a car. You go into the dealer or you go into the real, wherever you're going to buy the house from, and you sign a contract. That contract is referred to as a covenant. It is a covenant. You are making a covenant with the seller to give a certain amount of money, blah, blah, blah. You sign your signature. They sign theirs. You've made a covenant. In the New Testament, the covenant's slightly different. In the Old Testament, in the other four covenants, it was all, and it still is, by blood, but it was done in blood, and it was between the person or the nation and God. Signed in blood. In the New Testament, the covenant that you and I are under was not signed with our signature, nor with our blood. We didn't sign the covenant because we would have broken it. So God, in his mercy, in his great wisdom, sent his son. And his son took the contract, signed it in his blood, and he said, that's for them. We are under a covenant of blood. We didn't sign it. It's not our covenant. We can't break it. It's not your covenant. You can't break your Ten Commandments. It's not yours. You didn't make the covenant with God. Jesus did. So it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you might do, your sins are forgiven. We need to move away from this whole sin-based idea. It's not about just sins. Because Habakkuk. I have a cat quite often. But he wrote, in the Old Testament, he wrote, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Your covenant that you have made is not between you and the Father God, but with Jesus. And the covenant is we believe on the only Son. That's it. Under the old covenant, particularly the Mosaic covenant, there were 640 laws. There were 10 commandments, basic broad rules. And then there were 640 laws. And there was 30,000 ordinances. Clause 1, Clause 2, Clause 3 of Part 3 of Paul, Part 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've all read contracts like that. It's always in the fine print. The problem with the law was if you break one, you've broke them all. So people today, under the new covenant, trying to keep the old covenant law, are deceiving themselves. Because they cannot keep them. It's not in our nature. We will break them. So God did it for us. There's so much mixing up in the modern church between the Old Covenant and New Covenant. And it's really, really hard. I think the whole church, body of Christ, would need a brain transplant to get them out of the Old Testament. Get them out of the Old Covenant. Anthony and I were talking about this the other day and we were sort of going, man, it may not happen in our lifetime. It may not happen in our lifetime. We may not see the church, the body of Christ, the bride, perfected, where she walks by faith, knowing who she is. You are sons and daughters of the living God. Hello. But we need to change. We need to do it. We've got to kill some sacred cows and get rid of them. Get rid of our Old Testament thinking and move into the new. I walk by grace in the faith of Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. End of story. Everything I do in my life, regardless of what that may be, I redeem to the kingdom of God. I am not like somebody who's shadow boxing, beating the air. Every blow has a punch. The enemy feels every time I throw a blow. By faith I live. Bang! Every time I throw a kick into his face, he goes, man, I'm not going to kill this guy. No, I'm going to live by faith. I know who I am. Does stuff still happen? Oh, my word, stuff still happens. Stuff still happens. Yesterday we go, our credit card's over. Why's that? Turns out somebody's flogged $1,000 out of my credit card. Stuff still happens. But do you know what? The Word of God says, call it back. It's mine. Devil, it's not yours. It's mine. Give it back. And give it back to me, plus interest. Thank you, I'll have that. Do you know, that's the thing. The thing is, we don't live by our circumstances. You don't live by what's around. You live by what God has said. What has he said? I've blessed you that you may be a blessing. I've given you the power to make wealth. By his stripes, you were healed. We believe by faith. We walk by faith. And do our circumstances always match up with our believing? No. We believe anyway. We believe anyway, regardless. If you've got your Bibles, open with me, if you would, into Hebrews chapter 8. Now, this scripture was written, was originally written in Jeremiah 31:31. And I always remember it because it's in Hebrews 8:8. I find God interesting, even though the writers of the word put these arbitrary little verses and things through, as Anthony was saying last week, there's still a little match-ups. These little match-ups where God's going, this is important. You need to know this thing. And so he matches it up. Jeremiah 31:31 and Hebrews 8:8. Memorize it. It's important. And in Hebrews 8, verse 8, I'm going to read out of the KJV. Most of you will have NIV, but you'll get the idea. Okay. Well, that's a good scripture too, but that's not what I'm looking for. 8. Oh, sorry, I'm 6, is it? 8, 6? Oh, it'd be good if I was actually in Hebrews. It was a fantastic scripture, and I thought, that's a really good scripture, but it's not what I'm looking for. It was really good. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. What a great scripture. But that's not what I was looking for. So, I love the word of God. Hebrews 8, and we'll start in verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, Jesus he's talking about, insomuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. So if you're looking for a title to this message, it is a new and better covenant. Which was established on worse promises. On better promises. Better promises. Don't go back into the Old Testament, guys. The promises were shadows. They were useless. They were not very good. Come into the New Testament. The promises were better promises. Better promises. For if the first covenant had have been faultless, then then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, not with the covenant, but with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. They couldn't. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. After those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. One of the amazing things that happened to me when I was first baptized was that I had a revelation of God is real. Jesus lives. And it was all, no one told me that, no one taught me that. And most of you will have had the same experience if you remember back to your baptism or back to when you received the Holy Spirit, you'll remember that revelation of, oh my goodness, it's true. It's true. Jesus lives. And that's what he puts in our hearts. And I love this bit. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Stop judging yourself. You don't have the right. Is your judgment of yourself greater than the blood of Jesus Christ? Every time you judge yourself unworthy, every time you judge yourself as this or that or the next thing, you are saying, in effect, Jesus' blood wasn't good enough. His blood wasn't good enough on the cross. His sacrifice upon the cross wasn't good enough. I deserve more. That's just pride. Slap yourself around the face. It's pride. You're saying you're worse than God's created Son, Holy Son. Give me a break. Nothing you have done, nothing. Nothing. I just want to say that one more time. Nothing you have done can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let me just say that one more time, just if you didn't get it. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're not mucking around here, church. Your sins are gone. Stop bringing them back. He's forgotten them. If you bring them up to the altar, he'll go, what's that? That's my sins, Lord. It's an empty box. What are you talking about? Your sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Don't drag them back up. They died with the dead man in baptism. All your sins gone. Gone. Forever. Forever. You are free. You are free. Not three. Some people, I think, you're not three, you're free. You're free. Wow. He says a new covenant. He has made the first one obsolete. Stop trying to live by it. It will do you no good. You can try all you like to keep holy days and other days and all the rest of it. It'll make you no more holier before God. Whether you come to church, you don't come to church. Whether you read your Bible, you don't read your Bible. Whether you pray or you don't read, you pray. It's good for you, by the way. It is good for you to attend church. But that is not why God accepts you. He accepts you because he loves you. And it is never, ever, ever going to be about your performance. You cannot perform your way into heaven like you're a show monkey. You know, banging the drum. That's not the way it works with God. Doesn't matter whether you never spoke to God again after you received Christ. You'll get before God and you'll go, man, there's some things you should have dealt with there, but you've passed from judgment to life. End of story. Just the way it works. Oh, yeah, but, you know, what about if I this or that? I'll go back to my previous point. Are your sins greater than the blood of Jesus Christ? No, they're not. Stop trying to make them as if they are, because they are not. I'm speaking to myself here. I am the most down on myself person you've ever met. I think all the horrible things about myself, and Diane's always slapping me up the side of the head. Now that we do martial arts, she does it even harder. But the truth is that that is pride. You've got to kick the pride out because Jesus' blood covers it all. End of story. So Jesus gets raised from the dead. They wait for this power. They wait in the upper room. And it was the beginning of the complete restoration of humanity. Did they get all restored then? No. Is all humanity restored today? No. Why? Because that's our job. That's our job. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we would have received the Holy Spirit, our hair would have turned green, and we would have went to heaven. He received the Holy Spirit, something would have happened physically. Oh, he's got the Holy Spirit, his hair's green. Wow, that person's got the Holy Spirit. There's a flame coming out of the top of their head. He could have done that. But he didn't. He chose to use us to restore humanity. And how do we do that? We tell people of the faith of Christ, that their sins are forgiven. Believe on him. Believe on him. Buddha said, I've been shown the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the way. There is no other way into the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus Christ. You can try, you can do all the good deeds under the sun. You can do this, you can do that. You can believe in other gods. You can believe and do great works. Won't get you there. Faith in the Son is what gets us there. I want to talk about this power that we've received. Jesus' death and resurrection opened a door by which the Holy Spirit came into the world in a more dynamic, dunamis way. Not that the Holy Spirit was ever absent. He was present from the beginning, but there were limits. But those limits were about to be blown away. Dunamis means miraculous power, might, strength. It means to physical power, force, might, ability, ephesesi, whatever that word is, energy, powerful deeds, deeds showing physical power, marvelous works. Turn with me to John 14. In John 14, Jesus says, I want you to understand what you've received in Christ Jesus. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I want you to capture that. And whatever you ask in my name. Now, many Christians will preface that with, yes, if it be the will of God. Or if it be, you know, your needs, not your wants. That's not what that says. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever. Whatever. Sorry, I've lost where I am. I'm over here. Okay. I'm over on this side of the page. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you know, when God blesses you, talk about it. Because God is glorified. Every time he blesses his son or his daughter, and his son or his daughter says, man, I got blessed by God today. I got healed. I was blind, now I see. I was lame, I couldn't walk. I was this, I was that. I was so sick, I was nearly dead. And God brought the right people into my life to restore my body. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, people with your illness normally go home, they lay in their beds, they throw up for the next 10 years and they can't work. I'm not having it. No, thank you very much. I did throw up for about 3 years. But God healed my body. I am fitter today than I was then. I am stronger than I was then. I understand the power of God more than I did then. I can remember, I was saying, telling nobody the story the other day. I was so sick. I was at a friend's house and we were having dinner. And I had to run off to the loo. I started throwing up. And I was throwing up and throwing up. I threw up for an hour and a half. And after an hour and a half, I fell down beside the toilet. I was exhausted. And I just started to laugh. I started to hysterically laugh. And I said, devil, I'm going to follow God. I'm just going to follow God. And from that time on, I got better and better and better and better. Sometimes you just got to laugh in the devil's face. Just laugh in his face. He hasn't won. He's been defeated, church, completely and utterly. You are the victors. I've read the end of the book. We win. John 14 and 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Now I want you to capture this just for a second, because I want to talk about Old Testament, New Testament. Old Covenant, New Covenant. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Old Covenant. Old Covenant. He dwells with you, but he will be in you. New Covenant. Yeah. New Covenant. When he said that, the disciples went, what? What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit works with us. What do you mean he's going to be in us? They were blown away by that. You mean God will dwell inside of us? Do you mean that this temple, this earthen, fleshly temple, will become a temple for the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So treat it well. Treat it well. Exercise, eat well, do the right things. Not that you have to. But it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You have something holy inside of you. Treat your body as such. As a holy place. My house shall be a house of prayer. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the temple. This shall be a house of prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly praying. I get into the shower of a morning and I'm praying. Praying away in the spirit. Pray away in the natural. Lord, bless the church. Bless every person in it. Heal the sick. Restore people. Help relationships. Bring us more youth. Let the children run through the aisles. Let us overflow with abundance. Constantly praying. This house shall be a house of prayer. Never about the building. Old Testament. Capture it. The Old Covenant was always about the building. Why did David want to make a house for God? Because he was under an old covenant and the building was important. The building's no longer important. This temple, full of the Holy Ghost and power. That is amazing. God dwells in humans. What? That can't be right. Well, it is. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. This is John 14, 25 and 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call him, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. When I first got my act together with God, I said to God, God, let me remember your word. I want to be able to remember your word. I want to be able to remember where things are so that when people say to me, where is that? I could say, here. Unfortunately, my forgettery is now getting bigger than my memory. But in those days, whole books of scripture would be brought to my remembrance as I was speaking to people. Amazing stuff. Holy Spirit and power is in you to bring to remembrance those things of the God. Just very quickly as I finish up. The covenant today is completely different to the old covenant. We are not living under the Old Testament covenants. We are living under the new and a better covenant. End of story. Don't come to me and tell me I need to keep some law because I'll tell you to go away. I live under the law of Christ. He has given me two laws. The first one, love the Lord your God with all of your mind, your heart, your strength and your soul. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing these things, you fulfill all the law and the prophets. Love one another is the most important thing you can do. If you come into church and you see somebody sitting on their own, go and sit with them. If you see somebody standing on their own, not everybody's outgoing, church. Not everyone's like Joey. Could talk to a rock. If it didn't move long enough, he'd talk to it. Not everyone's like that. Most of us are a bit more introverted, right? I'm a bit of an introvert at times. Go and talk to people. Love on them. Pray for them. Encourage them. I really love Pete because Pete's always encouraging me. Always comes up and gives me a hug. And I always feel encouraged. And everyone else probably like that too, eh? He comes and talks to you, you think, man, I feel good. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. That's fantastic. I just love that. Could you imagine if we all did that? Loved on one another like that. Cared for one another. Wow. What a church we would have. When people come in the door and you walk up to them, hi, how are you going? My name's Keith, how are you? Where are you from? People go, this church loves people. And we do love people. It's just that we're mostly a little bit introverted and we're a bit scared. Don't be scared. They don't bite much. It's really important. It used to be about the nationality, now it's about the individual. It used to be based on laws, Sabbaths and ordinances. It's now based on the principles of love, joy and peace. It used to be based on judgment, wrath and condemnation. It's now built in love, joy and peace. The Holy Spirit used to only work around you. Now he'll work in you. You were once powerless, flesh-based. Now you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're a spirit person. Your spirit has come to life. And it can now speak on behalf. And you can say, devil, go. And he's got to go. He says, sickness, leave. And it's got to leave. Get this person a job. And they'll get a job. Help my family, Lord, to come to Christ. And they'll come to Christ. Compassion moves God. when you're passionate about your friends and your neighbours. I'm impassionate, not just, oh, well, the Bible says I should go out and preach the gospel and, you know. No, but when you love them, have compassion for them, and God will move based on your compassion, on your mercy. Pray for the nations. Lord, they need prayer. They've got issues. Pray for them. The Holy Spirit will work in you. You were once powerless. You now are empowered by the Spirit of promise. My intent this morning wasn't to convince you of anything particularly. Old Testament, New Testament, covenant this, covenant that. My intent is to allow you to then read your Bible instead of doing the kaplunk method. Surely thou shalt die. Yes, eventually I will. The kaplunk doesn't work real good. I like the kaplunk method every now and again. I'm like you. I go, Lord, give me a word. Give me a word. The sons of Sotai. Right. Can I try that again? Get into the new. Stay on the right-hand side of the book. I tell you, if you're a new Christian, you don't know your word, get into the New Testament. The New Testament is your book. Forget the Old Testament for a while. Get into the new. Get into the new. Get into that new wine. Be drunk in the Spirit, not in the thing. Yeah. The new. And read your word knowing who we are and the covenant. So when I read the Ten Commandments, I understand that those Ten Commandments were given to people under the Mosaic law. They had to obey them. I'm under Christ. I live by the principles of those things. Should I kill? No. Should I commit adultery? Obviously not. Should I covet? Oh, that's tough when I see a Maserati go down the road, I tell you. I go, man. Or I see a nice Audi go past or a Porsche. I said to Diane the other day, I said, covetousness is not good. I saw an Audi go past and it was a beautiful looking Audi and I said, man, I'd love that car. Covetousness is not good. But in the Old Testament, I would have to go and get forgiveness for that. In the New Testament, I just move on. I understand what it is and I move on. That's what we do in the New Testament. Now, I don't know if you've all received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hope you have. If not, I would really encourage you to seek for the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you raise somebody from the dead, I'll assume that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. For most of us, we will speak in a language we've not learned for most people. Not everybody, but most folk. That's probably a sign that you'll get. And I got that. Most people sort of get that. And you can do that on your own, beside your own bed, and you can just ask God for the Holy Ghost. When he says receive the Holy Spirit, that word receive in the Greek means to chase, to seek after, to apprehend. So he's saying apprehend the Holy Ghost and ask him to be in your life. Ask him to be, that you would be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he will fill you with power from on high. And your life will change. You will move from religion into the Spirit of God. You will start seeing things in the light of the Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit see that? Versus how does judgment and condemnation see that? We are not under condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not according to the flesh, but follow after the Spirit. Amen. And that's us. That's you. Be excited. Be excited. You've been endued with power from on high. Oh, Joey's going to jump up and talk about the youth thing. Yep.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.